How many of you are lying? The rest of you, raise your hand. How many of you seen that little commercial where the little dog is trouble, you know, and always think about where he's going to hide his bone? Y'all seen that? Well, even dogs have trouble. We all have trouble. And I was thinking in the Bible, and I'm sure if we think of who had the most trouble that's recorded in the Bible, it would be Job. So I went to the book of Job, and there's a scripture there. It says, in the third chapter, it says, I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for troubles come. How many of you have been there? We've all been there. But then if you go to the very back of Job, the 42nd chapter, in the very last chapter, after all this stuff has gone on, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything. Amen. Let's say that together. I know that you can do everything. And if you skip down a little bit in that chapter, it says, but now my eyes see you. They don't see the trouble, they see you. And years ago, there was a little lady called Dottie Rambo. I'm sure y'all have never heard of her. But I was privileged to know her during this time very closely. The time that she wrote this little song, when I lift up my head, he just lifts up my heart, and my troubles just all roll away. Amen. Hit it, brother. Number two up there. Give me a little more volume here, if you would. Turn it up. When I'm down and out, when my heart is filled with fear and doubt, that's when I lift up my head and he lifts up my heart and my troubles just all roll away. Roll away, Lord.
Roll away.
Troubles roll away. Away. Amen. God bless you. We love you.
Well, we've heard from the head, and or I said the brain, not the head. And now I want to give the heart a minute or two to greet you. Dr. Henry Harbaugh.
Amen.
I want to show you honor and respect.
Amen.
But, you know, when you're family, it's really hard to introduce family members, you know, other than to say,
I love you.
Good morning, dear friends. God bless you. You know, I was just thinking this morning that we were singing and praising the Lord about being free in the Lord and dancing in the Lord. You know, probably the most two stoical people. You know, you may be familiar with that term, stoicism. Paul dealt with this in Philippi and provinces of Rome, Ephesus, where some people, you had Epicureanism, where they believed that pleasure was the principal good, so it was dealing with a lot of problems in the church, and some churches are still like that today. And so the pastors got a difficult time trying to keep the sin out of the church, and sometimes you got more of the world coming into the church rather than the church going into the world. But I remember one time that Keith Duncan was here once, and he was in Monroe, and I was just thinking, it made me laugh, and you might get a laugh out of this, but there's two of the most stoical people are myself and Bishop Jack Ernest. Now, we'll smile occasionally, but we're always spying out things. You notice we got that serious look. And we're the kind of people, when they take a picture, they say, now, smile, fellows, they got to say that because we don't automatically smile. But I'll never forget, Brother Jack, you might remember this, you and I were the most stoical two bishops there, and Keith Duncan was playing Jump Into the River. And I was just saying, now, Lord, I don't want to say you're going to make me do this, but don't encourage me to do anything foolish because I'm the head of the fellowship. Don't encourage me to do anything crazy. So Jack was standing up, and he was kind of moving. Come on up, Brother Jack. Come just a minute. And I'm going to tell you what we did something that we have to blame God for this. When you can't blame anyone else, blame God or blame the Holy Spirit. So we were just there, and we were just kind of doing like that. And all of a sudden, here's what we started to do.
Praise the Lord.
We get some new bishops tomorrow.
Now, they thought only Bishop Ray Ford did it, but then when they saw us, everybody was going like, I can't believe this. That's a miracle. They've been praying for a miracle, and sure enough, a miracle happened. We were in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Nobody could believe that. We had a wonderful time. Anyway, it's good to laugh and to be free in the Lord. You know, I always feel free in this church, and I always enjoy coming here. All of us enjoy coming here. So I pray that you don't ever tell us to stay away, because we'll be knocking down your door trying to get back in. So I'm just wanting to encourage you to keep on with your faith and keep looking to Jesus. There's a lot of people today that are trying to pull you out of the Christian walk. There's a lot of temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is there. Everything that happens to you is happening to everybody else. There's a lot of temptation in the world today. So it's simple. Just say no to temptation and say yes to God. Thank you so much.
You know, it's really a privilege to know them and share with them over the years. And, you know, Dr. Harbaugh is a busy man. He's writing about, are you finished with it? Are you close? Are you close?
Maybe two more years.
Two more years. It's no easy project to write a Bible, folks. And by writing a Bible, I don't mean he's making up his own Bible. It's a translation. All of his study and all of the things, he's very, very, very diligent about trying to get it exactly like the original, if you want to call it that, manuscripts of God's word were presented to the people. And he travels all the time and encourages people. He's on the phone talking to, just calls up us bishops and other members and just say, well, I just wanted to call and check on you, see how you're doing. And I appreciate him. And the thing about the brain, that's the everyday function of it. You know, he's too busy to do everything, aren't you, brother? But the heart of this organization resides in him. And it's a heart of compassion and love and caring. And one thing that I have seen in the time that I've been associated with this is that he doesn't do what he does to bring glory and prominence to Henry Harbuck.
Amen.
His sole purpose is to lift up God in his kingdom and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to let the children and nursery, preschool, children's church be dismissed. Hallelujah. See, we've got them of all ages. Look, man. Some of them will come back. But I want to go ahead right now and introduce two other people that are very, very important in the AEGA, very, very important in our lives. And I'm glad to have them around. Sister Elizabeth, we haven't been concerned about being around. But here a few years ago, Brother Ray tried to leave us. And you know why he didn't? God raised up his hand and said, not yet, son. And so at this time, Bishop and Dr. Ray and Elizabeth Foy.
Do you have anything you want to say first?
Well, no, I want
you. You're saving your soul.
I'm saving because it's something special God wants to do today.
Okay.
So you go ahead.
Oh, goodness, I tell you. I'm going to do my best to use a platform. That's kind of interesting for me. I usually can't do that. This is sort of for the praise team, and I'm so glad Laverne's back because the word was really for her. When after we prayed for the praise team a while ago and I was standing over there, the Lord showed me a vision and kept just drawing me to Laverne's feet. And this was the vision that he gave me, was of a tour bus. And he said, you know, everybody is always so impressed with the tour guide because they're standing up there and they're reeling off all this information as you pass each historic site or movie star's home or whatever it is. And everybody's always so impressed with that great knowledge that they have. But actually, all they had to do was memorize it. Someone that is very rarely given any acknowledgement in a tour is the bus driver. You see, the bus driver has to know every stop. He has to know when to begin to put the foot on the brake, when to put the foot on the accelerator, when to pop the clutch. He has to know that route so well that he knows when the traffic's going to be heavy and he's got to slow his tour up to let the others get past. He's got to know when he needs to push on ahead because he's blocking traffic. He's got to know that route so well that he can take everybody on that tour bus with him. And what I saw was a vision, and Laverne was the bus driver. And what I saw was that there's coming a freshness and a new anointing and a new sensitivity in her position as worship leader, because God calls her a worship leader, not a praise leader, not a music leader, not a minister of music. He said she has come to the place where she knows how to worship. And I am teaching her the path from where she stands to the foot of my throne so well that she'll be able to take everybody else with her. There, and he said, just go pray for her feet, because they're her spiritual feet. And she's going to know when to put the brakes on, when to press the accelerator, when to pop the clutch. And everybody on that tour bus will make it to the foot of that throne. So you just be expecting God to do some neat things with you. As I'm sharing today, I want y'all to keep in your mind a picture of those young people. Because if you noticed and thought about it for just a second, had only the littlest one been in here, and had he only had one hand gloved, and all those lights had gone out, if we were at the very furthest corner of that room, as long as we kept looking at that one little glowing hand, we could have made our way around the chairs, around everything. Because you see, we as people think that we don't have a lot to offer. All God's asking is that we let the light that we do have shine. The one thing that we do feel like we could step forward and do for God, that we step forward and do it. We think we have to be able to flood the room with light to make an effect in the world. But the truth was, as I was sitting there, God said, you could make your way all the way across this room as long as you watched that one little hand, because that one little hand was light. And all I had to remember was just focus on the light and walk toward it. And, you know, sometimes we excuse ourselves. Oh, we don't excuse ourselves. We just make excuses. We try to con God and ourselves. That, you know, I would do more if I'd been given more. But I wasn't given more, so therefore I just can't do. And that's a lie to ourselves. We're not conning God. He knows the difference. He knows about that one little gloved hand that would have led this entire congregation all the way around these chairs to the front where the altar is, if we'd have just kept our eyes on that one light. He didn't have a lot of light to give. His hand wasn't even as big as the guy next to him, but he held up what he had. I want to read to you for a moment from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, the heart. I tell you what, the other day the Lord began speaking to me about letters. You know, the King James, he uses the word epistles. But in our modern day, it's nothing more than a letter, and unfortunately, the world is trying to make me conform and settle for an email, and I just refuse. I like letters. I like to hold them. Because, see, I'm in that generation that understands that anything you touch carries your spirit with it. So when I get a letter from a friend, I want it to be a letter. And I have a precious friend that she is so busy, and it's so much easier for her to send me off little emails. But every now and then, I'll go home, and I'll open my mailbox, and there's this letter, and it always starts out. You know, you have no idea how hard it was for me to sit down and do this, but I know you wanted to touch me, so I'm writing to you this week. And so, you know, Paul knew in that letters have a power. Letters are to be read. And unfortunately, you and I are the example of God's correspondence. You know, there are all types of letters. You can get business letters. You can get love letters. I guess the most famous slogan for one was back in the, especially in the earlier wars, the Dear John letter. There's all kinds of letters that can be written and received. In fact, at State Farm, we had a letter that was called the Say Nothing Letter. It was the most magnificent piece of literary craftsmanship you have ever seen. Every time I would get a copy of one of them that had been sent out from the regional office to put in someone's file, I would think, I hope they're paying this guy royalties. I mean, it was a letter. I mean, it was filled from top to bottom with words. When you read it, you just had the best feeling in the world and you were still canceled. But you felt so good. I mean, and you would read it, and it literally, it said nothing. But it gave you this feeling. I was reading, when I was thinking about the epistles, about us being the correspondence of God, I was thinking of that scripture where Jesus and the disciples were going toward Jerusalem, and he was hungry, and he saw a fig tree full of leaves, which should have indicated there was fruit. And Jesus went up, and he was going to get him a few figs to eat. I guess he was like me. He was a snacker. You know, he just couldn't make it all the way to Jerusalem without a little pick-me-up. And he wanted some of that fruit to eat. But when he got over there, the tree had absolutely no fruit on it. And Jesus looked at it, and he said, from this day forward, nobody will eat fruit from you again. And when I began to think about that, I thought, Lord, that judgment was almost like, because you chose to deceive, from that point on, I'll stop your ability to produce the real thing, because you're sitting here operating in a deception that you can feed people and you cannot. And I began to think about that, and I thought, Lord, how much of my life is all leaves and no fruit? How many times is what people see giving them the impression that they can come there and they can eat the goodness of God, and they're sorely disappointed? Jen was remarking, she and Brother Henry went up to see one of our older members of AEGA, Bishop Charlie Chambers, a couple of weeks ago, and she was just kind of remarking to Ray and I as we were coming over yesterday from the hotel about this tree that they had parked their motorhome under. And the man thought he was doing a kind thing because it was the easiest pull through and would give them some nice shade and everything. And it was beautiful. But as pretty as the blooms on that tree were, if you picked one up and held it to your nose, it had a horrible fragrance. And when she said that, the Lord reminded me again of the tree that was all leaves and no fruit. And I thought, how many times are people expecting beauty and pleasantry from us, but that's not what they get when they get real close? I had a weird set of circumstances that I couldn't figure out till the last piece came in this morning. But I had, in the last 2 weeks, an episode that has not happened to me since I was 9 years old. Every watch I had, I'd look down after I put it on, in 30 minutes, the crystal was gone. How many people lose a crystal in a watch anymore? It just doesn't happen. They make them better than that now. Well, when I used to climb trees, you expected to lose your crystal every now and then, you know. But hey, I sit pretty still, you know. I'm not known for my movement, you know. And I'd look down, and the crystal would be gone. And I think, Lord, that is the strangest thing I've ever had happen in my life. I'd go get another one out of them, you know, because I'm a big spender. I have $105 watches, you know. And so I'll go get another one of my $5 watches, you know. And I'd put it on, and in an hour I'd look down, you know, like maybe I'd move and something would catch on my dress. I think, well, how'd that happen? Well, the little hands were sticking straight up. I'd lost another crystal. I thought, what is the deal, God? So we were getting ready to come up here, and I was out. I had no more watches. I was done. And so I have one, though, that you could, you know, put different bands on. Girls know this. You guys know. Anyway, you put different bands on. And so I told Ray, I said, well, I'm going to take my bands, because the Harbucks always stop at Cracker Barrel. They sell those little $9 watch parts. I'll get me a watch, and I'll put it on one of my bands when I get there. That way I'll be able to tell time. Well, wouldn't you know they didn't stop at Cracker Barrel this time? So I kept waiting for opportunity to happen, you know. And Brother Henry made this famous statement. He said, okay, folks, he said, we got plenty of gas to get there, but just so we don't have to fill up, you know, Saturday morning going to church, we're going to make this one last stop, and I'm going to get some gas, and then we'll just go on in. So I looked at Ray, I said, well, I met my Waterloo, you know, it don't look like it's a Cracker Barrel. And so Jan and Ray were over there looking at some new brushes to wash their motor home with and all this kind of stuff. I'm just trying to find a watch in there, you know. And so I find this rack, and every one of them are neon, so that, you know, I'm just not that bright. And so I found this watch. I thought, oh, how lovely. It's black and white, and my dress is going to be black and white. I'll just be so together, you know. It didn't dawn on me till yesterday morning when somebody needed to see how much more time they had. You can't read it. It's got numbers there. It's got hands there, but you can't read them because of the print they're on. And so I was thinking, oh my goodness, well, maybe if it gets to be 2 o'clock, my stomach will growl and I know it's time for me to stop and go home because I have no way to know what time it is, you know. But this morning, because my sweet sister here had heard me laughing about my fiasco with my crystals and everything, this morning she came in and she said, here's you a watch. I bought this thing the other day and didn't know why I bought it, but evidently it was for you. Here, you'll know what time it was. Now, I could have been like most churches and decided to take an offense that she thought, don't go long, I'm giving you a watch. But you see, but I took it as a picture of actually what Brother Relaford saw with the arm. Because I am connected to her. She was able to minister to me what I needed. Because in my best efforts, this watch was just like Jesus's fig tree. I mean, it was hanging on that little rack. I mean, front and center for me to see. It was even in my price range. I wasn't even going to have to go tell Ray, what's all they've got, Ray? I got to, you know. It was perfect. And I was so excited. I went and got my $5 from Ray. And I went over and I checked out my watch. And I was so happy. I thought, phew, problem solved. Put it on yesterday morning at the hotel, came straight in here, never looking at that thing. And then Laverne hands me these little cards and says, would you time the speakers? I said, sure. I mean, I am so glad that I have great hearing because I was having to do this while I was listening to them. You know, is that moving? Is it moving? You know, because you couldn't see it around the stripes. How many times do you and I bring forth to the world things that they think they can count on, things that should be so simple for them, and they come to you and I, but we're not the kind of letter that they need to be able to read. You know, the Lord over the last few months has really, really been talking to me. And I hate it because these kind of things are in the New Testament. And everybody knows how hard that book is for me. But he's been having me in the New Testament. We have a meeting that we do every month in Shreveport, Louisiana. And they've all, you know, they've just gotten to where they bring an Old Testament with them. Because for 12 years, that's all I've taught them. And here lately, I've been teaching about the New Testament, so they had to go borrow the ones out of the pews so they can read in the New Testament. But the principle that he's really been trying to drill home to me is that, especially within our full gospel circles, we are so faithful to teach everybody how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. We almost always ignore the fruit of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit operating without the fruit of the Spirit will kill people. It'll kill the minister because you become puffed up in pride. It'll kill the people because I've got news for you. I have experienced this, maybe y'all had, maybe it's just me that brings it out in people, I don't know. But I have had some words of prophecy that were vicious. It's like they decided that they didn't like me And they would just come for, oh, well, the Lord says, and just whack, chop, chop, chop. The fruit of the Spirit would have kept them from doing it. The fruit of the Spirit would have said, if there is truth in what they're going to say, the Holy Spirit will give it gentleness, kindness, temperance. It'll be easily received. I don't know about you, but every time Jesus whacks me on the head, I'm grateful. I mean, Daddy knows how to spank his kids without killing them. But you see, we major on the gifts of the Spirit, and that's fun because they are fun. I don't know about you, but I love to get a word from the Lord. When I'm puzzled about something and I've just thought and thought and thought all I can think, it's a blessing when somebody who operates in the gift of wisdom comes and says, oh, well, this is what the Lord says you need to do about that. You say, oh, wow, light came off. You know, they're wonderful, they're powerful, they're needful in the body of Christ. But you know, you don't see a lot of seminars on the fruit of the Spirit. If you'll read Charisma or a bunch of those, you'll see seminars on come learn how to operate in your gift. Come to Prophet so-and-so, and he's going to do an impartation, and you're going from then on know how to operate in the gift of prophecy, or you know, all these kinds of things. You can go to seminars like that. How many of us have plunked our money down on the table to go to a seminar that would teach us how to live in gentleness, kindness, long-suffering. Oh, don't you hate that word? Oh, long-suffering. But you know, when we were doing the rapid fires yesterday, when we were reading the foundation scriptures that the conference yesterday was on, I began at first, you know, when Laverne, I don't know if you guys read all of them, but Laverne read them at first to us and then at the end to make sure we caught it. But, you know, at first when she was reading it, my church thoughts could come, and it was like, oh great, 10 more things I got to learn to do. You know, like my barrel wasn't already loaded trying to learn stuff. You know, now I got to learn how to do this or walk in. And as I was doing that, the Lord said, but I've already given you the key on how to do those foundation scriptures. It's let me produce my fruit in you. Because you see, we don't have any trouble walking in unity with one another when we've learned long-suffering, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, joy, peace. We don't have trouble with any of those things of our conference foundation scripture if we've got a bumper crop of the fruit of the Spirit. We talked in the women's group yesterday about, you know, some of us came out of nurturing homes and some of us did not. So all of you who came out of nurturing homes, you're going to have to cut the folks like us that didn't a little slack, okay? But at the same time, those of us who did not come from nurturing homes have a responsibility, instead of saying, oh, well, that's just the way I am, to say, Lord, please soften this tongue. I mean, y'all should have seen me before the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. I mean, I was too big a job for Jesus. He had to bring in the Holy Spirit and baptize me in the Holy Spirit to make me palatable to the human race. And, I mean, y'all should have seen. I had a tongue that was the exact replica of my mother's. And in the softest, kindest voice, I could cut you down so fast you would bleed for months. You know? But that was what I was taught. But you see, I couldn't go through life saying, well, that's just the way we are. I had to learn, God, please, please help me to soften my word. God, help me to see the good in that person. You know, I'd just much rather pop their head off and throw it in the trash. But I know that if you died for them, there's got to be some good somewhere. You know, so help me find it. Help me find that good that's there. Help me walk with them in peace and love. I don't want to be all show and no go. I had a little thing happen a couple of weeks ago. And by the time Daddy got through with me, I was pretty broken about it. But you know, the Holy Spirit is such a comforter and such a precious friend that I was there on the treadmill and I was just feeling so beat down because once again, I screwed up. And I heard the Holy Spirit begin to pray. And he was having a conversation with the Father. And he was so precious, he said, "Father, it's in baby girl's heart to produce the fruit. Forgive her for being nothing but leaves that time. Give her another chance. It's in her heart to do better." And you see, that's the good part for you and I. That's the redemptive part for you and I. Everybody out here is just going to see if there's leaves or if there's figs. Because that's all they've got to judge by. The Word of God tells us we're known by our fruit. But you see, the good thing is that our Father knows that while we might just at this stage of our life be producing nothing but leaves, our roots are going down into the ground and we're drinking up all of the nutritious things that He's planted in the ground. And while our leaves may be a little deceptive, at least they're out there and they're gathering up the rays of the sun and they're drinking in the moisture that comes from the rain. He looks at the inward part of us and He sees that we desire to be so much more than anyone sees in us. So my invitation to you today is let us come before the Father and ask Him, "Lord, make me fruitful. I've prayed many times to be gifted, but Lord, this time I'm coming before you and I'm asking to be fruitful. I want to exhibit to others the nature of Jesus Christ." When they're looking for hope, when they're looking for peace, you know, folks, it's already getting that way, but it's going to get a lot more so that people are becoming terrified. They're just becoming terrified of what's going to be next year and the next year and the next year and the next year as far as like world conditions, taking care of their family, getting everybody raised, keeping a roof over everybody's head. People are becoming terrified. When they turn to me, I don't want them to find a leaf that says their peace, but when they talk to me, I'm rattling my mouth just as terrified as them. And I'm not talking about a positive confession. I'm talking about getting up close enough to Jesus that you take on His nature. You know, that man was headed toward a cross and you didn't hear him belly aching. There's a precious song called "The Cross, the Wondrous Cross." I think Chris Tomlin wrote it, probably. But I love that line where he says, "And you gladly went to the cross." You know, so many times we paint this picture about poor little Jesus. That man danced his way there in his spirit. From the time of birth, he knew where he was headed, and he enjoyed every day he lived. So I want that kind of nature, that when somebody's talking about how fearful they are, how shaky their world is getting, I can say, "I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I know a man, and his name is Jesus, and he gives me the peace to stand in a shaking world." My oldest granddaughter, because I have a second one now. My oldest granddaughter, when she was a little younger, her mom, she's my son and her mom separated when she was small. So she's not been raised in a Christian home, but they put her in a little Christian daycare one time. And so the teacher was asking them different things about, you know, God and all that kind of stuff. And she'd been kind of talking to them about how Jesus was going to come, but how things would have to get bad before He came back. And this little friend asked Brooke, she said, "Well, if it gets that bad, what are you going to do?" She looked at her and she said, "I'm going to run and stand right beside my grandma because Jesus will take care of her." You know? That's what we want, people. That's what we want. We want, when the world is shaking, for people to come to us to eat the same way when Jesus was hungry, he went to that tree. He has planted you and I to be that living epistle. And I do not want to get to heaven and him say, baby, within your life, you were the living replica of the Say Nothing letter from State Farm. I don't want that reputation in heaven, that it's just a bunch of big words and everybody feels good, but their life is still in shambles when they leave. I want to be something of substance, an epistle, that anytime somebody needs to read what Jesus is like and they're not in an environment of church or Bible or whatever, you know, good basic heathen, that God can say, oh, I have a page that person could read. I'll go put Elizabeth in their life. That's the epistle I want to be. That will show people how good, we sang about it today, how beautiful you are. How beautiful Jesus is in thought, word, and deed. He is a magnificent Savior. And we're going to give you the opportunity to come forward for prayer and to ask God. I ask him every day, Lord, help me produce a bumper crop.
You know, this morning I was asking God, can y'all hear me? I was asking God, what am I supposed to do? I know you expect me to prophesy. But the Lord said something to me this morning, because yesterday, we came from couples that got remarried. And I was asking God, God asked me, what did I see yesterday when they got remarried? I said, they're rededicating. They're wanting to draw closer to one another. They want to renew what they had when they first got married. And the Lord said to me this morning, early, he says, all of you today, to stop and remember when you first met Jesus. Where were you when you met him? What were you doing? And what was he saying to you? What happened to you when you first got filled with the Holy Spirit? And I was questioning God until I saw the young people. I was watching the young people praising, waving their hands. And I was watching the hunger and the excitement they had for performing for you. Are we like a vessel in our neighborhoods and our community? Do they see that excitement anymore in us? Because when we first got him, we were excited. We told everybody. We went and told our families. We got rejected by our family. We got, all that stuff ain't real. I can remember how they looked at me behind a beauty chair when I'm a hairstylist, as a young hairstylist, when I started telling them about Jesus and what he could do. Oh, you got religious, haven't you? I can remember those days. Today the Lord said, today he wants to breathe on you a new spirit. Refreshing. And I want you to come up front, line up. If you want to get a refreshing this morning from the Holy Spirit, a regeneration. And I want you to move quickly. I don't want to have to beg you. If you want a new freshness of the Holy Spirit, come up front. Come up front. If you want a new spirit, Jack, you and your wife, I want you and your wife. I want Jan and Henry. And I want the pastor and his wife. I want us to lay hands on these folk to get a regeneration, a refiring of the Holy Spirit, a refiring of the power they once had. Brother Henry, Brother Jan, Sister Jan.
Well, we won't, I'll do that later, but I want y'all first to see. I don't want to be the one. I want the body of Christ to get men and women who are powerful and anointed. And y'all just go down and start praying for one. Y'all start on this end. Jack, y'all start in here. And y'all just start praying for people for a new generation. Have I met you before? I don't think so, neither. And the Lord told me to tell you something. He said, I'm going to do a new thing in your life. He said, ma'am, he says, you have gone through storms and storms and storms and storms, and the enemy is beating you down, and it makes you feel like you're not worthy. That's a lie of the devil. He said, you have been looking over your shoulder thinking what people think about me, and you have carried the shame. God said, the day is over with. The day is over with. You don't have to be ashamed anymore. He said, I have called you. Lord, I ask you, now somebody may have to catch her, okay? Somebody, y'all get ready, okay? Lord said, if you want all of him right now, he's going to do a deliverance and inner healing to you. Are you ready to ask for it, sister? Now receive it in Jesus' name. There it is. Well, y'all catch her. Lord, I'm going to see God of all of her. Yeah, man. You come up tough. You had to go. Your life was not easy for you. You were talked about when you had gone through lots of trials. The Lord says, I'm just going to open the door in the windows of heaven. I'm going to change your life. I'm going to show you I can do mighty things for your life. I'm going to use you in my kingdom. Are you ready for that? Raise your hand. I'm going to anoint in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, touch him. And fill him with your Holy Spirit. And with your power. Lord, fill him. Fill him, God. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, my cousin. Sister.
Jesus Christ.
You have prayed many hours. Seeking help from others. You have stood in the gaps where sometimes you felt like nobody knew you. And God said, when I called you, it's been a while since God called you and filled this building. He said, but I'm going to anoint you with new vigor today. Are you ready to raise your hand? Father, touch her. Fill her, Lord. Back what she, not only what she had when she first started, but fill her more with your power. Are you ready for more power in your hand? He said, you can, I'm going to tell you what God told me in my spirit about you. He said, you've been saying, God, you don't hear me. God, you don't hear my voice anymore. And I'm so upset with you. And God said, I've heard your voice. I heard your prayer. But you've been saying, you've been doubting me. And he said, you quit doubting and start believing. And I'll renew you and I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll change them. I'll move the mountains for you. But you got to start believing me. And quit doubting me. Raise your hand, sister. Lord God. Father, fill that with your power. Lord God, I fill it with your power. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fill it, God. Fill it. Fill it. Fill it. Fill it. Go ahead and receive it, sister. Fill it. Don't hold back. It's all yours. It's all yours. There it is. There it is.
King of the heavens, where one day our bow.
When I look at you two, I see a lot of wisdom. I see a lot. Your husband, he's one who cranks things out. He don't take nothing for nothing. He just analyzes. He thinks it out. But you kind of like me. We just kind of jump in on like a little boy, and we just go do it. But he'll sit back and you'll have to go and drag him like he's dragging something. And Scott Kelly, he's got whiskers. He's just faking and watch. Because he's analyzing. He said, I ain't going to take it. I want the real thing. I like that. You want the real thing. I said, now, man, he's making a big deal. Are you ready to see this? Hold up, I can't see that. Raise your hand. Hold up, I can't see that. Feel him, God. Refresh him. Refresh his spirit. Refresh his mind. Refresh him, God, in the name of Jesus. Sister, you've never worried. You've been through the storm. You've seen the ups and downs. You've seen the disappointment. You've seen the faith. But God said, I've heard your prayer. And I answered most of your prayer. He said, I am well pleased with you. He said, God, I want you to quit looking back. Start looking forward. Quit looking behind you and look forward. Quit looking and figuring out what happened back there. Start rejoicing. Start praising. And feel it, God. Feel it right now. Oh, there it is, sister. There it is. There it is. Receive it. There it is. There it is. Will you two come up here? Will you two come up? The Lord told me, the Lord says, you're kind of like me. We kind of don't have a lot of self-confidence. We kind of been through some storms. And, matter of fact, I was putting them in the position. And you have felt like nobody really understands you. And you really kind of get frustrated sometimes about it. When God gave you a beautiful wife, who's very outspoken, she very tells you what she's going. She don't listen. She tells you like me. I don't know you, right? So you know it has to be the Holy Spirit doing it. And the reason why God gave it to you, because she has confidence. And she believes. Because she saw the potential that you had. You see, my wife saw the potential that I had. Even when I wanted to commit suicide, even when I wanted to quit, even when I rigged and run a motorcycle in a tree 8 miles, even when I hung myself in a pair of chairs, she saw the potential. Your wife saw the potential. God told me to tell you. You need to let go. You need to forget what happened yesterday. Because it ain't going to happen. God said, I have a plan. I will take you back. You said, look at me. You have to speak to me. You have to take talk to me. Look at me. And I go all over the world. Hey, I go all over the world. God has took me and my wife all over this world. Because I can give you help. Because of him, Lord. And God says, you desire more. Brother, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to refresh you. Raise your hand. Father, refill him with joy and strength. Refill him today, Lord. Fill his spirit. Lord, let him become the man that you called him to be. Fill him, God. Fill him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Feel him, God. Sister, the Lord says you. I'm going to have to be careful how I say it. But I'm going to say it. You desire more of the kingdom. But you don't think the kingdom is yours. You don't think that God has a special. You are inside of me as a teacher. You teach me. But you are afraid of people like that because you don't think you're going to be. God says that's a lie. Today is your day to receive the anointing. You're ready to have it. Lord, fill it. Fill it with all that wisdom. Fill it with all that knowledge. Lord, fill her with that Holy Ghost and power that she can teach and do what you called her to do. Where she can set the captive free and heal the sick. Sister, you're going to lay hands on the sick and lay on the sick. You're going to cast out demons in the name of Jesus. Did you know that? God's going to give you the ability to do all that. The anointing to do it in Jesus' name. I don't know anybody I've ever spoken. You've been like everyone I walk in, you make me feel like I'm so important. You make me feel like I'm more powerful than I am. And God said, because you've been so faithful, He said, I am going to re-anoint you and refill you with the joy and the strength. In Jesus' name. There it is, sister. There it is. There it is. Don't. There's somebody to catch you. Don't. You ain't going to be afraid.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, you became
you think I'm looking at?
Poured out to
I'm going to tell you something about you.
Many times
when you were young, you were just a feisty, sassy, wouldn't let nobody. You grabbed that bragger world by the tail and said, I'm going to enjoy life. And you have enjoyed life. You have walked and you have been perfect. But God says today, I want to know that I have well put you, that I have not been disappointed. You have gone through crossroads like I have in different things. But you never took your eyes off. That's right. Because you see, God had a plan for me. And He has a plan for you. Amen. See, all the pastor thing just wasn't for me, pastor. But God says, I'm going to use you. Even in your situation, I'm going to use you. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Father, refill. 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 Have they prayed for y'all? Why didn't y'all come up? Y'all should have came up. Sir. You know you got an angel sitting beside you. She's pretty mildly kind of thing. She kind of tells you. I have to do this because it won't be no fun if I didn't get to the truth. And you know why God gave you her? Because you and I, if we ain't careful, we go do the stupid things. We have to have somebody pulling our chain, pulling our rope on. Because we get in trouble tomorrow just like that, and we would. I know, because you and I are making the same problem. Hey. I was in the world. I was known. I get things you don't even want to talk. We don't even want to talk about. Okay? I mean, I was known as a bad person. But you, Jesus, got hold of me. But I don't mean you were. I'm just saying I was. I don't mean that. But you're like me. You don't take you much if somebody gets pull the right chain. God said, I got a call on you. He said, y'all been holding back, fighting. He said, but I want to take you. I want to use you. I got things planned. Ma'am, you've got a t-shirt for me. He said, I give you the desire to teach you. But you don't think that you're capable, you don't think you're qualified. Quit believing the lie. Quit believing the lie. God said, I'm going to use you. Did you go up? Who prayed for you? Who prayed for you? Okay. Well, we're going to tell you something, sister. He said, I think to change your life. I think to change it. I think to turn you upside down. I think to make you not know who you are anymore. He said, by this time next year, you're going to change. He said, I'm talking. Because you're going to start hearing God's voice more clearly. Okay? All right? God says,
He's got a bigger plan for you. Quit struggling. Quit worrying. Quit lifting the problem. And focus on him. He said, you've been through the storm.
Jesus,
but the storm is coming
Christ,
to an end.
Come to think me. Upon your sacrifice,
you, make life
you became none.
But you're going to have to start
poured out to death.
The man God just told
many
you
times.
But you got to believe.
I've wondered at
you don't
your
believe
gift
it,
of
have.
Life. And I'm in
thing.
That place
faith
once
comes by
again.
Here, faith is a moving
I'm
mountain
I'm in that place once
God.
Again.
Don't give up.
Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside.
That old sister.
Once again
in a while.
I thank you.
I think
once
I saw you last
again,
time. Still doing hair? We got it.
Jesus Christ.
Tell you get caught up, baby.
I think upon your sacrifice.
So you got life kind of changed. The Lord told me to come back and tell you, I have not forgotten what I told you. I have not forgotten what I told you. You know what you've been praying for and what you've been asking. And you've been saying when and when and when. God said, I have not forgotten. He said, now you've got to start believing. And quit. You're like me, because you know this hairdressers are whole. You know, we're a lot. We listen to all that crap all day long. You know, nonsense stuff. God said, I will do what I said. You've got to believe, okay? Come in.
Exalted to the highest.
How you been doing? How you been doing? God said, I can tell you. God sufficiently fills you with new precious, new wisdom, and new knowledge. And most of all, he says, I can say, Jesus, I'm sure. If he pays you, then ask him. And he does.
I'm full of praise once again. Jesus Christ, I think upon
thank you, Jesus.
You became none.
While we're still in the presence of the Lord, I wanted to share this with you. As you leave today, I would like for you to leave a special offering. You're going to have the containers back there at the door. This will go to bless the boys for ministering to us this morning. Give to them. They can do whatever they want to do with it. For them. So just ask the Lord what you should give. You're going to make a check out, make it out to New Life, and Drop it in the container as you leave this morning. They'll take cash too. I appreciate them being with us. I appreciate all the ones that came, the both couples that came all the way from Monroe, and I know what a drive that is. Because I've been down there. And and appreciate having Jack and Patsy here all the way from almost Pittsburgh. I said you're down here almost from Pittsburgh. If you can't, if Richmond, Ohio doesn't really ring a bell to you, if you have any concept of Pittsburgh, they're just a few miles from Pittsburgh over in Ohio. Drove all the way down here just to be with us this weekend. And so remember that this morning as you're dismissed to drop something in the offering as you leave. Let's stand together. Bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for ministering to us today. And I know, Lord God, that all we have to do for you to minister to us is for us to just want it. For us to just ask for it. But thank you, Lord God, for the special touches that you made upon your people today. And I pray, Lord God, that we'll not soon forget. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing your people. Thank you for your mercies and traveling mercies, taking them home. Thank you for your angels encamping around about them, giving them wisdom and blessing this week as they seek to follow you, as they serve you, Lord God, and fulfill the purpose you have for them, that you have for each of us. Thank you, Lord God, again, for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and be faithful in your giving.